I wonder if Harry changed something in the settings.
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, shall we let Bridget in?
Yeah, I guess
yeah.
so.
Welcome to BeerNet Radio. Today we're here with Luna Bay CEO Bridget Connolly, and she is part of the female-founded Better For You tea-based beverage company. And so they got their start with hard kombucha, and they recently extended their offerings to include a sparkling tea-based line. So welcome to the show, Bridget.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I think we want to get kick things off, getting started, chatting about how you ended 2023 and what your production was like, and kind of the current status of how many states you're in.
Yeah, I mean, I can share more on like a high level of just like how many states we're currently in. So we really last year, our big focus was figuring out which product lines we were going to expand, which ones we were going to innovate in. So last year we expanded Luna Bay from just hard kombucha to hard kombucha, hard tea, and tea mocktails. So now we have three different product lines and different flavors within each one. So that was a big focus of us last year, of just really focusing on our innovation in production. And then we have two facilities now. We produce in California, and we also have a facility in Wisconsin. One is supporting our West Coast business, and one is supporting our Midwest South business. And then as far as states in, we are in 14 states now, and we will be in 20 states by the end of the quarter. And then we'll be adding more states in Q2 and Q3. And we're continuing to launch RNDC in strategic key cities and states. And it's not going to be a full national footprint yet. And we're waiting on a couple more national chains to take us there.
Are you able to share which states you'll be entering in the immediate future?
We will be able to share that soon. As far as the Whole Foods, we just launched our new sparkling tea with Whole Foods. So we do have that in Connecticut, New York, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Louisiana. So those are some of the immediate upcoming states.
And then in terms of product innovation beyond hard tea, maybe we could talk a bit about kind of where your sights are set for Luna Bay, and maybe like back up a little bit and talk about like the ethos of your company and kind of how you think you're differentiated in the segment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think for me, like I didn't know anything about getting into alcohol when I first started Luna Bay. I was really more of a brand builder, and also really care about mental health and my physical health and what I put in my body. For me, I grew up in Wisconsin. I like to have fun. I like to enjoy drinks, but I wasn't feeling good drinking a lot of them. And so I think for us, our ethos was being able to create a product that we believe in and that we know what's in our products. And so all of our ingredients are non-GMO. We use all real ingredients. We don't add any additives or any added sugar. For us, everything is made with yerba mate tea, non-GMO, and gluten-free and low in sugar. And so all of our product lines have been built off of that base foundation. And I think, as we have seen, when brands scale, I always heard like you'll never have as good as a product you have when you start your product. And for us, like that's something I just have been really non-negotiable on. We have a holistic health coach on our team. We have a registered dietitian on our team. Our production team has been, is really into the quality and just is there for every single batch sign off. So that's just not something we're wavering on as we continue to scale, is the quality of our ingredients. I also think it's rare to have a female founded and led team, and just to kind of really make ourselves known and respected, and really, we're seeing our distributors really champion for us and our chain accounts champion for us. So being a female founded and led team, and then using real Better For You ingredients in the alcohol space is kind of how we separate ourselves.
I know you don't want to be known only as a hard kombucha, but it's a category that we've been writing about for a while with Craft Business Daily, and have seen some excitement with some big brands that have gone national. But do you think it has the potential to become a national category or style, considering that it's down?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think that some of the big players in the space, had a lot of backing to begin with, so they were able to grow national really quickly. But I think the problem maybe in that also was that there wasn't the category wasn't established in other places yet. So I think we saw a big, increase in sales on the West Coast, and then it didn't translate quite as well as it grew really quickly, as some of our competitors grew really quickly. And I also do think though that now the rest of the country is catching up to this category that maybe was seeing a more niche California segment that we're seeing now, Michigan and Ohio and Minnesota and distributors asking us for a product where we have our biggest amount of chain mandates this year that are all in hard kombucha. And so, I think that it's hard sometimes with the data because I think it can be skewed. It's not telling the full story when it's maybe just focused on one region when there's the rest of the country that hasn't experienced the category yet. So we're still really doubling down on it. We really see that there's opportunity in certain chains and certain partnerships. We just got a Lifetime Fitness deal. So our product's going to be in some of the Lifetime Fitnesses. We work really closely with Lululemon. So we see there's a lot of opportunity in strategic relationships even around that. But I think that's kind of like maybe why the data is somewhat skewed. However, we do see the opportunity to continue to expand within that the wellness focused drinks.
I'll hop in. Hi there. Interesting, super interesting, the positioning and especially like the alignment with those wellness places like Lululemon and that sort of thing, and your female foundation, if you will. I'm curious why you guys are moving to RNDC because a lot of brands like yours that are better for you, sort of beer adjacent in cans, are kind of doing the opposite, right? They're moving to like a beer first network. So curious why. Is it the turnkeyness?
It's a good question. I think there's never a one size fits all, to be honest. I think that the distribution world that's really fragmented around each state, like where, for us, RNDC in California was one of the biggest opportunities we could have had. I mean, we could have had 15 distributors in the state of California, and we have one. And they also open up a lot of chain opportunities. And I think, as you look at, an emerging category that didn't exist before, 5 years ago, and you look at, a lot of these chains are still being educated on what this is. And then, just the size of our brand, we're not, a big name brand. So for us to be aligned with someone like an RNDC that does open up chain opportunities that is backing our category, and then that just even speaks to their belief in it, and then gives us opportunities that we might not have ever had. As for example, certain retailers don't work with some of the smaller distributors that we had been previously with, and they want their preferred distributor is an RNDC. So I think it's like it's a double-edged sword because some of the small craft ones have been really great for us, and then some of them haven't. It doesn't make sense necessarily maybe in every one of our markets, and so that's kind of why we're with Breakthru actually in some of our markets as well. And we're talking to a few others. So we're diversifying ourselves within the distribution network. But for us as a whole to be given these opportunities, when RNDC didn't even look at brands like ours really 2 years ago, I think it's an exciting opportunity to really shake up the distribution world.
Are there other hard kombucha brands that are going through wine and spirits houses? I know, like back in the day, kombucha, it seemed like it went to beer distributors' houses because it wasn't all that shelf stable to begin with, and it had to keep it cold. But I guess there's been advances in production, and also probably advances with RNDC carrying these types of products. So, are there many more hard kombucha brands in the Wine and Spirits Network? And how have things been different in going from beer distributors to RNDC?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so interesting. I mean, we started in Illinois, as a small team in just one state and with a craft distributor, and they were so supportive and helping grow our brand. But in the beginning, our product was cold chain, so there was a limited amount of distributors we could work with, and then a limited amount of retailers too, because they didn't want to, have products sitting in the back and anything like that. So I think for us, you guys have seen it too. The consumer profile has changed so much. So the product, we're not just looking for beer and wine anymore. Beer sales are down, wine spirit sales are down. So these distributors, I think, are really looking at like, how are we reaching new consumers? How are we still hitting our target? And does it make sense to diversify now that these products are shelf stable? So I think we're seeing beer distributors take on energy drinks and, new things too. And then we're seeing some of the wine and spirits distributors take on RTD and canned cocktails. And I haven't necessarily seen RNDC take on other hard kombucha brands, but I have seen them take on other RTD brands. I do think there's a lot more education. It is a little bit more challenging in that sense. The margins are different. Some of the buyers are even different. And then educating on a category that didn't exist can be obviously challenging, where I've seen the beer distributors understand it a bit better. I do think, for us to go into a place where you have to manage every inventory and try to get them to take a PO with a small house, and they're just taking the bare minimum to kind of like, make sure they have enough cash flow. For us to be with a big our house distributor that's placing 6 weeks of inventory POs and just really dialed in, helps you with your chains and pitching and presentations. And that's just stuff we've never had before. So for us, that just opens up such big opportunities. And I think that we'll continue to see beer suppliers taking on new products and, wine and spirits as everybody's kind of shaking it up. And then even with our new mocktail line, RNDC is taking that on as well. And that's being rolled out into all the Whole Foods in every states that we're in March and April. And I think, again, like this is a whole new category that, a few years ago, they were not taking on RTD non-alc drinks too.
So that launched just on Amazon, right?
Correct. Yes.
It debuted on there. Yeah.
It debuted on Amazon, and then it's going to be launching on a couple other D2C retailers here soon. And then it'll be launching in Erewhon in March, and then also all the Whole Foods in every state we're in.
Okay. How did it go with Dry January and, all the rage at the beginning of the year and directing people to Amazon?
Right. Yeah. No, it's been really amazing. Like this is such a new area for us. And again, the more capital we would have, to put behind marketing budgets and sponsor posts and things like that, obviously that will continue to drive sales. But I mean, for us, we've really bootstrapped our business. And for every opportunity that even comes our way, we get a lot of people that come our way to ask to work with us, partnerships, venues. We're really selective, but we've really doubled down on our D2C efforts because it's actually supporting our growth for hard kombucha and hard tea as well, because we've never been available in, 25 other states in the country, and people are now able to order our product and try it. And then, we gain new customers through that, and then they might see it in the store and then buy it there.
I'm curious, going a little bit of a different direction. You mentioned obviously only so much capital, right? But you also mentioned two facilities in Wisconsin and California. Are those your own facilities or do you co-pack?
No, we co-pack. So okay. It is pretty hybrid, to be honest, okay. Because we do all of the flavors, innovation, all the branding, packaging, and then we're there. We have a brewer and a production person in-house. And so we go up for all the brews and we do all the taste testing and all the flavor profiles and all of that. So it's like, I feel like co-pack can be like such a word. They're like, oh, we're not, involved, but it is like our baby and we're there for every batch. But we don't overhead. We don't have our own.
Got it. Are you finding those relationships tougher as there's more brands, right? It's harder to get your schedule and your stuff done.
No, actually, I think we're seeing it the opposite. I think that there's so much more facility open mm-hmm. now. Like the beer industry, like there was a big craft beer boom. And then, we're seeing a lot of these beer breweries empty. So mm-hmm. I get reached out to weekly about, do you need any tank space? Can we brew for you? So I think, we really value those relationships and we've been able to really partner well together with both of them. And that's why it made sense to work in both locations just from like a shipping and margins perspective too.
Oh, good. So that's working for you. Good.
Yeah. I mean, because there's always like, oh, should we get our own and should we brew in-house and, margins would be better. But I think from our perspective and where we stand and what our focuses are, it makes sense to keep that off-sourcing that.
Let's talk a bit about your new hard tea line, because it's coming at a time when hard tea is obviously very hot, but it's so hot that we've heard some commentary recently from people like Mary Guyver about too much flavor extension by smaller brands who don't necessarily have like a core brand established. And so why is hard tea a natural extension for a hard kombucha company? And do you think the better for you hard tea space as opposed to like the top hard tea player who can remain nameless, do you think that better for you space is starting to get crowded?
I think there's always going to be something. It's like, is hard kombucha too crowded? Is seltzers too crowded? So I think it's really just like establishing yourself and in your brand and what you stand for, aligning with the right partnerships, aligning with the right chains, and just doubling down on that. I mean, I wish you could be on some of my, raising calls or chain calls. I mean, everybody has an opinion. Everyone's like, just be a hard kombucha, be 10 things, be in one state, be in all the states, be like every day. I feel like I hear two different, completely different opinions and they believe it so truly. So I think for me, like we know our core values, we know our mission, we know where we're headed. And we really do listen to our consumers and we really do take that feedback. I mean, we read like every single email that comes through, every single DM, what are people looking for? What do they want? And our chains, I think where we're seeing hard kombucha still really growing in certain states, and certain chains, then we're seeing maybe hard tea is focusing more on the South. And Mary has been, really, really put us on the map. I think she was one of the first people that believed in us, before we had any real data. We're still a small brand and it's, I'm sure for her, she believes in us and she wants to support us, but it is hard sometimes because we are a small brand that, we are fighting tooth and nail to get our distributors to take our POs on time, to, get paid on time so we can send out our product. Like there's, if you saw from, behind the scenes what we face comparatively to people that have 10x capital that we have, that it is easier for them to make those POs on time and what have you. So I'm so grateful that Mary has given us a shot and she believes in us and she believes in the quality of our product, even when there's hiccups where we, can't get something delivered on time. And Mary was the one that, really presented us the opportunity to expand into hard tea. She said we're looking for something more flavorful and, what our consumers are looking for is direct feedback from their consumers. And so she has always challenged me to like think bigger. And I worked on the Lake House line, came up with the brand in 5 days. And we got it into market as quickly as we could, from her asking us to come up with it, to creating it, to making all the flavor profiles, recipes, producing it in stores. I mean, we did that in like 2.5 months, which is really difficult, and opened, six new states in the process with a team of less than 10. So, I think that just speaks, to what we're capable of. We're quick, we're nimble, we're, aggressive in what we take that feedback seriously. So, that's something that we really take to heart, especially those chains.
Can you share a little more about the Lake House line and its attributes? And yeah, that'd be great.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we started with the Clubhouse line, and I think for us, again, like hard kombucha can be seen as niche. And I think, it's becoming more recognizable as we're growing and scaling, but we were realizing it was kind of turning away some consumers because they maybe had a taste in their mouth about what kombucha was. So we decided to get into, for us, storytelling is my favorite part, brand building and storytelling. So I was like, let's make up a house hard tea line. So our first house line was the Clubhouse line, and we really focused on golf courses and pickleball and pools and areas that we really couldn't get into before. There were a lot of golf courses that never even wanted to try a hard kombucha. So it's opened up a whole new segment of consumers, and those were cocktail. We did those based off of classic cocktails you would see in the golf courses. So transfusion, mimosa, and cranberry vodka, but they're all still brewed with yerba mate tea, all real fruit and ingredients. all with our classic, process of brewing. So that was kind of our first line. And then when we talked to Mary, we were looking for something that was more of a sweeter, more flavorful, more of a powerful flavor coming to consumers. So that's when I came up with the Lake House line. So just thinking of like that sweet, summer sipping, iced tea, you're sitting on the back porch, something like that. So that's kind of where my mind went with that sweet Lake House line. So these products are going to be a little bit on the more flavor sweeter side, but still that same brewing process. And that's kind of where the Lake House line came. And then we'll have a few more house lines that are going to be coming up here in the next 12 months.
Cool. So are you targeting different consumers with the different lines or different channels or?
I would say similar consumers in the sense of, we've gotten mandates this year in, Kroger and Walmart and which is really huge for us. I mean, Walmart's been a big one for us. We're sold in Trader Joe's with the Clubhouse line. We've gotten Sprouts mandates. We've got Natural Grocers mandates. So we have a lot of these ABC liquors in Florida. So a lot of those are coming to life now. And I would say our product lines really sell throughout. And we've rebranded all of our hard kombuchas. So those will all be in that to be very similar to our hard teas. So they all just really look like they fit together too. So all of those will be landing in stores this spring. So with that being said, the chains are similar, but the partnerships look different. So like hard kombucha and mocktails, we're seeing a lot in like the Lifetime Fitnesses and the the Lululemons. And then, as far as partnerships with like some of the golf courses we're talking to and some of the venues, some of the airports, music arenas, that's kind of more of the hard tea. So we're positioning both of the product lines in different places when it comes to partnerships versus like chains.
Yeah. Any other highlights for like on-premise trends? How big is on-premise for you guys?
So I would say, off-premise is our number one focus. We're up 80% year over year in our off-premise this year. But I think for us, on-premise, we would love to focus on more, but with such a small team and where we're at just from growing and scaling and fundraising, our biggest volume comes from chains. And then, for us, our strategy is like, let's nurture those relationships. Let's making sure we're putting enough, partnership money behind samplings and things like that, that are really important to nurture those relationships. And then we're seeing those organically then be fed into on-premise. So we're in Let Us Entertain You has been a great account of ours. So we're in several of those restaurants around Chicago and in Texas. We're also been working with Delaware North. So we're sold in like TD Garden. We're sold in Lambeau Field. We're sold with Levy in Toyota Center. We're sold in the Globe Life Arena in Seattle. So a lot of those on-premise opportunities are coming because of the off-premise. And I will say too, when it goes to the fact that we're in Lambeau Field or TD Garden, that usually costs a lot of money, but we don't pay anything because these, we're really seeing people do want to make a change, and it's really hard to make a change when it's been controlled for so long by really big budgets. But they're seeing the product is pulling and the consumers are asking for it. So they are diversifying what they're selling. And it's because they're buying it at chains and they're wanting different options when they go out to experience a live concert or sports or venue. So we have actually them coming to us and asking for a product. And then of course we'll do like samplings and things like that to help drive sales and awareness.
And then one more for me. You mentioned fundraising. How has that gone? And I don't know if you can share kind of the nature of your funding.
Yeah. So, I think for us, I always believe that things happen for a reason and everything is connected. But I look back in the last few years and there has been times when we've been very close to doing quite more significant rounds. And due to the nature of the VC or the, alcohol restrictions or the economy changing, they haven't gone through. So we've had we've really bootstrapped a lot of our business with some backing with some smaller, investments, which again, if you could look at a company that's 4 years old and created a category and is competing against some major players and is in all these major chains, people would be shocked that we're still standing. I'm shocked that I'm still here and smiling. No, but I think for us, it is something that we're actively raising again now. But I do still think But in a way, I'm grateful because the economy has changed and the landscape of, path to profitability and things that were kind of teed up in a much better position in that regard, to be able to bootstrap our business this far and be really, really efficient and strategic with our spending and, where we focus to grow our business.
They're leaner and more profitable from it.
Yes, yeah, leaner for better for worse
Yeah.
because we're all wearing 20 positions, but I think in a way it really forces you to learn every single part of the business inside and out. I know everything from production to legal to marketing to every single thing. It's not the way that you're going to scale long term, and we're getting there, but I think now it's really set us up for a really strong position this year.
One more for me too, and we'll kick it back over to Bianca. But I was curious, those partnerships you mentioned with Lifetime and Lululemon, what do those look like? And are you with any other brands in those partnerships?
Yeah.
How does that come to life?
Again, it kind of goes back to like, how do we just get creative? I think we sit on our, calls, our marketing or executive team, like, what are the companies we admire and what who's doing it well and what can we do? And I'm really thankful for LinkedIn. LinkedIn has given us so many opportunities. And I kind of go through and I kind of scoured LinkedIn to find who buys product at Lifetime and got, my team, Julie Sell and I are all very close, my COO and CMO, and we've all really worked on building that relationship with Lifetime. I think they really could see our passion for what we're building, and then they loved our product. And then they trialed us. It usually comes with a trial, and then they trial us and it does really well. And now they're rolling it out nationally. And now what we do is like, how do we come up with programming? So we'll do pool bucket, like booch buckets around the pools, or we'll sell them in the Lifetime Fitness Cafe. So we come up with a lot of this stuff. Like, we find the people, we come up with them, we shoot for the stars, and then we see what comes back. And that's, if we have more people, we can keep doing more of that. But that's kind of how that worked. And then as far as Lululemon, I worked there for 5 years before Luna Bay. And I think for me, that's something, the health and wellness side, the way they've built their company, they've done, between partnerships or just experiential ambassadors. They've paved the way in a lot of ways that I think in my marketing side of the business. So I reached out to Lululemon, and they are going to be doing 10Ks this year in select cities around the country. And we just saw that as a really good opportunity to come in and have a product that aligns with them on that. So we already had one with them in LA, and we'll have like our mocktails at some of the 10Ks this year too. But we do other stuff with them. We are sold in their Lululemon store in Chicago. We do like yoga classes with them, and we'll do mocktail samplings with them. And so there's just like lots of ways we think about getting creative with some of those partnerships that really make sense.
Got it. Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. That's how Walmart, we got in front of Walmart, was through LinkedIn and, a lot of Amazon, and it's really all asking someone for 5 minutes of their time and, building relationships, and really grateful for that.
Oh.
Yeah. We also just got 5-star parks, which they're like amusement parks. But, parents take their kids, but parents also have drinks. So reached out to them on LinkedIn, and they were really interested. And our sales reps went last week at their conference, and now their parks are already starting to order. Yeah.
Guys move quick.
Yeah, we are nonstop. See.
I guess to round things out, maybe chat a bit about your kind of the brand building approach. I think is interesting because you have a very strong point of view with your brand and seem very focused. And I think that's something that people like Mary obviously want to see with kind of emerging brands. And so how is that kind of informing the next steps you're taking for Luna Bay this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as like brand building, it comes, there's so many different angles that we look at, but I think one was the whole rebrand. So I think, if you look at now all of our cans, they're all very similar aesthetically. So when you see Luna Bay on the shelf, you will recognize it, whether it's the hard tea or whether it's hard kombucha or whether it's the mocktails. And I think where maybe brands have, not been clear on their brand mission or statement, it can be confusing to the consumer when they see a hard kombucha or a mocktail or a seltzer, and the branding and the packaging all looks very different. And it's like, wait, are they a kombucha brand? Are they a tequila brand? Or what are they? And where's the brand loyalty? So I think for us, it was really important for us to aesthetically have them all be fitting in a family. And then also, like, flavor profile wise, they all have the same base. So they all are within the same product line, which I think is important. So it is still that same, our consumer knows what they're getting when they come to Luna Bay, like what the flavors are like and what we stand for. So I think that is a part of, as we are building our brand, the messaging that comes forward in the ingredients we use in all of our product lines. And then I also think the partnerships piece is really important. So I think, in the early days, you could, maybe 10, 15 years ago, you could just, have your product off-prem and on-prem, and, you go to your distributor and you sell. And I think the consumer is looking at now partnerships. I mean, we've been working with Melbourne Golf on some activations, and they're just doing a women's line right now too. And they just had a new store opening in December, and we, donate product to that. And I think, like, again, you really have to think outside of just being an alcohol brand. You have to think about how the Lululemons and the Lifetimes, the sports arenas, how you kind of activate with those partnerships that help amplify your brand and your messaging. And so for us, again, that like better for you wellness space, I think will really come forward in the partnerships, the chains, our marketing programming, and our branding and our product and our quality. So that'll continue to be our focus. I mean, as we are a lean, nimble team, we have to be, a little bit more selective on how we're sharing that and where we're putting our focus on our funding. And but I think for us, the wellness space, people will recognize that when they try our product.
I think that covers it for me if everyone else is satisfied.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, yeah. So the Lake House is in stores now. So it's in all the Whole Foods that we're in now. Mary, I'm so grateful that gave us a shot with this. And then we added those, four new states. I can send you some of this as well. And then you'll see another house line, soon, in the next few months. But yeah, we're really excited about some of the innovation this year. And it's been really cool to see new accounts come our way, and some really serious interest as we continue to expand our portfolio.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Bridget, and best of
Yeah.
luck for the rest of the
Thank
year.
you. Yeah.
We'll
Are you
check
guys
in.
based in California too?
I'm in San
No.
Antonio.
I was gonna say, okay, cool.
Bianca is. She's in San Diego.
Okay, you're saying, and where are you based?
I'm in Austin.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So you can get it in the Whole Foods and HEB and all the good stuff. Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
You
for
just
sure.
got
Well, oh,
Buc-ee's in.
yes. Yes. Is it
Yeah.
going to, Buc-ee's?
Yeah, it's going to
Oh,
Becky's. Yeah.
nice.
Yeah. So that'll be coming up here soon. A lot of the spring resets will be coming into place. Yeah. So, and we'll be back in the Austin airport soon. So
Okay.
Texas, we just relaunched Texas statewide with RNDC. So it takes some time to get
Right.
up and going, but Texas is a great, great place to sell.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, last year you guys were you ha you were here last year because I remember I bought some like the Tequila Paloma or something like that.
Yeah.
For the Super Bowl, and one of my friends was like, oh, she liked it a lot.
Yeah.
This year, interesting enough, everybody brought non-alc over to my Super Bowl party. So,
I'm seeing that all the time now. It's like we're going
right?
for drinks, people non-alc. Yeah, it's wild.
It
Yeah.
was, yeah, from
So,
beer to mocktails. So, yeah.
wow. We'll
Yeah.
see a lot more, I think, in that space too. I mean, I think
Definitely.
there will always be alcohol drinking, but I definitely think that kind of goes into the non-alc to the consumer that cares what they're putting in their body. That's why I think, where we really champion Luna Bay with clean, real ingredients, you feel different if you drink that
Right.
stuff. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
totally. Well, we'll check back with you this summer. And yeah,
Cool.
thanks again, Bridget.
Thank
Cheers.
you. Thank you, Bianca, for making this work. All
Thanks.
right.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon. All
See
right.
ya.